From the Stockyard in Brighton, this is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For the next hour, we'll have special guests and get you caught up on the Eagles. The Boston College Football Show is presented by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. And also brought to you by McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. It's time to talk BC football. Here's John Meter-Burrell.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Thursday. Yes, nice round of applause, as always, from the Stockyard in Brighton. Great to have you with us. I got to tell you, last week, Coach and Pete Cronin, I was wandering around. I'm thinking, it's Thursday night. What am I going to do tonight?
There was a void.
It's a void.
It's a hole in the donut.
It's a gap.
Absolutely.
It's a ritual.
Yes, yes. So I figured I was tempted to come here, but you know, you guys weren't going to be here, so it wasn't going to be the same thing.
Well, if you would have called, I mean, the communication's not very good, Pete. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of streets named after him all over the country. Yeah, one way.
One way. Try to text the guy. It takes him 4 days to get back to it.
No. I responded to you immediately.
Once
last
in a while.
Time you did.
Big time guy.
You're busy.
I saw you a couple weeks ago. Off the plane in Stanford. We get off the plane. It's 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Pete and I were looking at each other. Like, I don't know how anybody can function today.
I actually think it was 10, wasn't it? 9:30, 10?
Yeah, but by the time we got
by the time we got to
BC. Yeah. So, did you function that day? Did you watch tape immediately?
You know, I watch it on the plane.
Right.
And try to go through, you know, I think there were 178 plays in that game, so I try to watch 178 plays and try to buzz through it. By the end of a couple days from then, I've watched it 6 times because my job is to – you know, improve the team and teach the team. And you know, regardless of the outcome of the game, we're very close. And close doesn't count. I understand that. Close doesn't count. But what happens to our team is when something bad happens in a game, it seems to snowball. Our team needs to do a much better job of just dealing with adversity. So we've talked about that. We've done that in practice. We've set that up, sudden change, complementary football, things in practice to help us deal with that because that's kind of where we're at. You know, if something goes wrong in the game, in 178 plays in a game, something's going to happen that's not great for your team, for both teams, right?
Right.
You got to be the team that overcomes it better than the other team, and that's where we're at right now.
And that, you have to think that the going into the season, looking at the open date being this week, maybe wasn't considered favorable, but now looking back, and maybe it was probably a good
no
thing
doubt.
That happened.
Yeah, there's no doubt that it was it came at a good time. We were able to, you know, it is, and again, no excuse. I'm just giving you facts. Like, we got back from Michigan State very late, got back from Stanford very late. These are college guys. They needed to regroup. They needed to, you know, kind of reconnect, get healthy. The bye week was good. We were able to look at some different players. You'll see some different players in the game on Saturday, some younger guys that we think can really help us, in addition to the guys that have already been playing for us, just maybe a little bit more of a rotation. We were able to scrimmage. We were able to watch a lot of film. We were able to have some really good meetings. And, you know, I think we're on the right track. Again, like I always say, we have to go do it. But, you know, I thought that this week of practice was one of our better weeks of practice since I've been here. I really appreciate these guys and how hard they work.
Now, with the extra week, you've got a little bit more time. Do you go introspective? Do you guys have more time to look at yourselves, or do you have people on staff that are telling you that all the time?
No, I mean, we definitely look at ourselves. We have people on staff that prepare us self-scout-wise. You know, it's only 3 games. Usually it's about 4 games that you really – but we needed to look at ourselves after 3 games. You know, to be honest with you, 2 games, take the Fordham game out of it because, you know, that was kind of a – you know, it was 66-10. So we took that out of it, looked at the Michigan State, looked at the Stanford game, but also, like, Pete, to be honest with you, looked at a lot of different games, what's going on around the country, you know. And, you know, when you look around the country, there's a lot of great football being played and there's a lot of bad football being played. And I think that, you know, our goal is to, again, continue to eliminate the bad and play more consistently, deal with adversity better. I told these guys, look, if something in the game happens that's not great, have amnesia. We'll fix it on the sideline. But, like, move on to the next play.
And I'll carry it
around.
Don't dwell.
And I think as coaches we can't dwell. I think the coaching staff's a part of that too. We've got to, you know, do a good job of making sure we don't dwell and we move on. And I think we've all worked very hard on that the last 2 weeks.
You mentioned those 2 games. A lot of good coming out of those 2 games.
Oh, yeah.
Michigan State and Stanford. some explosive plays.
Yep.
Dylan Lonergan's number one in the country in completion rate.
Yep.
So you're putting a lot of good things together. That's got to be a constant theme for you.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But the issue is, you know, we're driving the football. You know, we're on the, you know, around the 20-yard line. We're driving the ball in to go up 24-6. We have a bad snap. The ball's on the ground. Stanford gets the ball. We then, you know, we drive it back down there later in the game. We get down to the 1-yard line. We try to go over the top. We fumble the ball. Not only is it a fumble, but it's a touchback. So now we don't even pin them down there. We get them. They get the ball at the 20-yard line. These are things that have to stop, right? These are things that have to stop. These are different than, like, holding calls. These are different than false starts, which are terrible, right? They're not good either. But the catastrophic mistakes have to stop. If we can eliminate the catastrophic mistakes, we'll be in and we'll have a shot to win every single game.
You know, the emphasis on that, you get the kids thinking, does it slow them down at all? Or I'm just trying to think, if you're concerned about making a mistake, does it change the way you approach the game?
Yeah, I think that's one of the keys, Pete, and you would probably agree with this. You know, these guys at Boston College are very bright guys. They're easy to coach. They're awesome guys, but they overthink. They overthink. Stop. Sometimes, you know, my dad used to tell me, hey, when I first started driving into Boston, right, when I was a kid or whatever, first got my license, hey, Dad, I'm going into Boston, whatever. Hey, he used to say, like, when you're changing lanes, like, don't look, just go in Boston.
Yeah, welcome to Boston.
You know what, though? That's how you got to play football. You got to play football. No one knows this in this room better than you.
That's right.
You got to play with reckless abandon. You got to look. Something in the game is not going to be great, right? And how do you deal with adversity and move on and just put it away and play with reckless abandon and let it go. Play free and have some fun out there. You're playing with your buddies. This is the greatest time in your life, and that's kind of what we've preached all the last.
Kind of like broadcasting. Don't hesitate. Just go.
Yeah. Well, you're a master of that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No question.
Let it rip.
A little sub story. My first partner was Gil Santos.
Oh, the best.
And he said, I made a mistake on the air early in my career, and I corrected myself. He says, hey, jabroni, 95% of the people are listening to the broadcast and not at the game. Just keep going. You just made it up.
They don't know.
So I made a living doing
the beauty of radio.
Just keep going.
No question.
Yeah. Beauty of radio. But
fake it till you make it.
That's going to work for me.
That guy right there, that guy who's calling me right now, I can't mention, but that's a heck of a prospect right there. But anyways.
See? Always working.
Yeah, we're on the right track.
Hottest working guy in college football.
We're on the right track. There's no question. All right, let's flip the script defensively. You'll watch those 178 plays. What did you see out of your defense?
You know, it's a combination of things. Look, at times we play really good defense. You know, at times it looks very, very good. It's almost, you know, you would almost say it's dominant, you know, but there's too many times where whether we're misfit, we're not communicated properly, we don't recognize, we need to be more aware of formations. You know, we're in a 3x0 or they're in a 2-back, or, you know, to be able to make the right calls. And then we got to tackle better. And then we have to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to us. You know, we can't drop interceptions. If the ball's on the ground, it's got to be ours. You know, so these are little things that, you know, we've worked on. We've changed some of the ways that, you know, in the beginning of practice, instead of doing pursuit, we're doing more turnover takeaway drills. We're doing more fit drills with our linebackers. You know, I think, again, knock on wood, we've got to go do this on Saturday. But I thought the defense, you know, they really showed up this week. And the other thing we got to do is when we play defense, and I've preached this since I got here, and I'm still working on this, and I think it gets better. But it doesn't matter. Like, wherever the ball is, that's where we're going to play defense. Right. And we're going to defend every blade of grass. It doesn't matter. Whatever happens to the other side of the ball, we're playing defense wherever they put the ball down.
Right.
And we're going to take the field like that. We're going to sprint on the field like we're hey, it doesn't matter. Put the ball wherever you want to put it.
Yep.
We have to play defense wherever they put it, and I think that type of attitude, you know, over the last couple weeks has been good, and our guys understand that.
And we noticed, Pete and I were at practice today, we noticed an urgency.
Oh, yeah.
A feverish pitch, which you notice a lot of practice, but today it seemed like, you mentioned the turnover game, you cranked that up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we have competitive guys. These guys are very competitive. They're competitive, you know, on the field, off the field. You know, these guys are going to be – you know, the majority of these guys are going to be great successes in life. You know, over the last 6 months, we've had two what we call networking events. We've had 16 to 18 former players come and speak to the team and then break up and talk to the team about their different professions and things like that. And it's just like a who's who of, you know, who played here and who's been successful. And these are the type of guys we have. They're very competitive. But like I told Pete, sometimes it's almost like they overthink. They care too much. They got to go do it. Let's go do it. Don't worry about it. Hey, man, shoot your gun. Go do it. And go make the play. And then you know, get up and play the next play.
Well, you touched on it with the extra week in you know, the outcome of the first couple of games. Do you change things up? It sounds like you did. But how dramatic – not dramatic change, but subtle change?
Yeah, some of it's coaching. There's no doubt about it. I think that's the big thing about these guys. And I've always been like this wherever I've been. You know, whether it was at Penn State, Houston, or Boston College, the players know that I'm in it with them. I have their back, and that's a big deal. So we're in it together. I'm not, you know, so we looked at some of the things that we're doing. We tweaked some things. We tweaked the way we met. We tweaked the way we practice a little bit. But in the end, you know, one of the things that we've got to do is fundamentally we have to be better on the field. And I think that we worked hard on that with these guys. And, you know, I think they had a good couple weeks. I'm looking forward to seeing this game on Saturday.
Well, today it was funny. Somebody asked me, why doesn't Bill go up like in a tower and oversee everything? I said, no.
That was about 40 years ago.
He's ubiquitous.
That was Bear Bryant.
Sneaks into drills. And
I'm in, yeah.
All of a sudden, oh, he's watching.
I'm in there with him. I would never
roll
go up
in your sleeves,
tower.
Baby.
You see him at a tower?
The tower at Alabama is still – the Bear Bryant Tower is still there.
Is it really?
Pretty cool. It's kind of in an odd spot relative to how the practice fields are set up there. But every time you go out to practice – every single day at Alabama, there
he was.
There's the Coach Bryant.
Did Saban ever go up there?
No. Saban was right in the middle of everything that was going on.
He doesn't seem like that type.
No question.
No more eye in the sky.
No, that's good.
The slim margin of error in college football and in the NFL, for that matter. I'm sure we all watched a lot of games this past weekend. You touched on it with you guys. We talk about it every year. 4 or 5 plays a game.
Yeah.
Is that the mantra with the team?
It's turnovers. You know, I showed these guys probably about 8 games, 2 NFL games and 6 college games throughout the week this week, in addition to, obviously, Cal. And, you know, the common theme is in these games is taking care of the ball and being able to take the ball away. We haven't taken the ball away as good as we did last year at this point, and we haven't taken care of the ball as good as we did last year. We got to take care of the ball better. But when you look at – obviously, the greatest example, the Patriots outgained the Steelers, 450 yards to whatever it was. The Steelers only had 203 yards of offense, but the Patriots turned it over 5 times. You know, then you look at the Bengals-Vikings. The Bengals beat the Vikings 48-10. The Vikings beat the Bengals 48-10, but the Bengals turned it over 5 times. You know, you look at the games throughout college football. You know, whatever game you want to mention, it comes down to that. And we've got to do a better job of taking care of the ball, and we have to do as good a job as we can of taking the ball away.
And we have to take a timeout. This is the BC Football Show from the Stockyard in Brighton. Much more with Bill O'Brien coming up after this from our good friends at Bud Light.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The Village Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more on tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Perrell.
And welcome back to the BC Football Show. As always, here on a Thursday night from the Stockyard, Bill O'Brien, Pete Cronin. I'm John Meter Perrell, BC and Cal. At noon, or excuse me, the new game is Pitt. BC and Cal at 3:30, 3 o'clock our broadcast time. But, Bill, BC hasn't played Cal since 1986. Where were you in 1986?
I was a junior at St. John's Prep.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. Cronin, was that your first year in the booth?
Yeah, I was trying to find my way in life at that point in time. My illustrious career was over. I'd covered my last kick. It was time to get real. And then this came along.
And then, yeah. That was your first year?
Good gig.
So you probably remember that game. Mark Campbell's quarterback for BC, one of the greats.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Mark Campbell's?
Cincinnati?
Yeah, Muller High School.
Yeah.
But so obviously an unfamiliar opponent, but from what you've seen of Cal this week, what do you like?
Good football team. Defensively, very stout, very tough, good scheme, spin the dial, never really know what you're going to get. Offensively, freshman quarterback, but he's good. He knows how to run that offense. They've got some really good players. They're big up front. They're physical. Good running backs, good receivers. Tight ends are good. Special teams, right? Great returner, number 21.
Yep.
Got to do a great job with him. Going back to they also have another core special teams guy who I think is awesome. It reminds me of when I was in the NFL, you know, you'd have these big receivers that could cover kicks and that could do number 84. He's unbelievable. And then we go back to defense. They got an inside linebacker who's probably one of the best we've played against in the 2 years I've been at, number zero. He's an excellent player. And so we it's a big challenge. But like I said, our guys are excited. There's been good energy at practice. You guys were there today. There's some good juice at practice. We need to come out of the gate ready to go. And, you know, I know we're going to have a great crowd, and our guys are very excited about it.
You have a great crowd. You're going to have a great day. It's a 3:30 kickoff. It sets up really well for, you know, to play a good football game.
No doubt. It's a great opportunity for us. It's home, 3:30, like you said.
Parents weekend,
you know, the whole thing. So we're excited about the students being there. I think it's a great time for the students. They can, you know, they can get up. They can get a little studying done, right?
Yeah.
Get their studying done for Monday, then transfer over to the tailgate, and then right into the stadium.
I didn't get the tailgate. I had to play, but yeah, good point.
I always tell Colleen if I could, I've never really been to a tailgate 30 something years.
I have.
I'm not sure. I shouldn't say what I was about to say. I will not. My boss is here, Blake James, so I'm not going to say what I was about to say. My tailgate, I would love to, a good tailgate would be good for me.
Yeah, I think
would be
maybe in your future.
I would struggle to get into the stadium, but I want these guys to tailgate and then yes. Transfer into the stadium.
Take on a little liquid courage is always good, you know.
And Cal is one of those schools, digging into them this week, you think of the tradition that they've had at certain positions. Quarterback's one of them. Jared Goff, 2016 first pick of the draft. You go back to Aaron Rodgers. You go back to Mike Pulaski, who's the radio analyst. There's a lot of good names on that list.
No doubt.
So I think their coach, Justin Wilcox, probably recruits like you do.
Yeah.
You recruit to that.
Good fits, yeah.
And you got this kid, Pete, repeat after me, Sangapulateli.
Sangapulateli. I've been working on it.
I know you have. Very good player.
Yeah, good player. Young guy, has good command, plays with great poise, knows how to run the offense. Coach Harsin does a good job with that offense. Coach Wilcox, got a lot of respect for him. I've had a chance to get to know him, you know, over the last couple of years at these ACC meetings. He really does a great job. Very smart guy, really good coach. They're very well coached in all three phases. They're a good football team. You know, San Diego State game to me was a little bit of an anomaly. I'm sure they're sitting in their team meeting room saying, we gave that game to San Diego State, and San Diego State played good. They played really good. They played tough, but, you know, I don't think Cal made some mistakes that they had not been making, and I'm sure they coached that up this week.
Well, you mentioned Harsin. He was a former head coach at Boise State, and they've seemed like they've kind of cornered the market there, that Polynesian, Hawaiian, Southern Cal market. You look at the names on the list, and he was always very creative.
Yeah, I mean, I coached against him when I was at Alabama, when he was at Auburn in 2021 and 2022, I think. We've seen him before. He does a good job, very creative guy, and, it's a big challenge for us, no doubt about it.
Let's go position by position for BC through the first three games. We'll start with quarterback. Your report guard on Lonergan.
I mean, look, I'm not going to give him a grade. I don't get into that. But I'll tell you, he's done a good job. He's in command. You know, he's a young player, guys. You know, he's got 2 years of eligibility left after this. This is the only three games he started in his career. He had, like I said, he had mop-up duty at Alabama. He's got good command. He's got great poise. Yeah, there's some things that he's got to improve on. He's worked very, very hard to improve the last 2 weeks. He shows up every day. He's a tough guy. Doesn't say a whole lot. Not a real loud guy. Just kind of leads by example, and the team has a lot of confidence in him.
He did a lot of things. Focus on the positive things. He seems to be – his poise is kind of remarkable for his age in the amount of experience that he has. How do you build upon that?
Yeah, I think if you knew, like, his mom and dad, Dan and Gene, they're awesome people. His dad was a quarterback at Penn State, you know, backed up Todd Blackledge when he was there and played for Coach Paterno. You know, he's a very poised guy. Just – that's the type of family they come from. You know, just a great family – very consistent people. Dylan's a very consistent person. He is the same guy every day. You know what you're getting every single day, and he works very hard to get better, and he knows that he needs to do some things better, and then the things that he's doing well, he's got to continue doing
them. That's a great point. Having played on many teams with a very diverse group of people on the roster, you appreciated people who were consistent.
Yeah, that's I think
one day a good guy, next day a bad guy.
You know what you're getting.
I'm happy today, I'm mad tomorrow. Like, wait, what's going on here? But there's some value to that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I think that's a big part of being a good teammate is being a consistent guy. And he shows up every day. And like I said, he's very consistent. I think the team has a lot of confidence in that.
It's funny. I was walking out with him, did an event with him last week for an NIL-related event. Great. He was terrific. We were talking about his baseball career.
Yeah.
And I said, what would you throw? He said, I reached 98.
Yeah, he did.
98 miles an hour.
Yeah, I saw him pitch. I mean, he was good. He played at Brookwood High School, which is the highest level of Georgia high school baseball and football. And if you know anything about that, the Brookwood Parkview, you know, rivalry in North Georgia is a huge rivalry. I mean, you're talking 20,000 people at the football game, and it was that way when I was at Georgia Tech. Big rivalry. You remember Jeff Francoeur? He played at Parkview, and
sure.
So there's a who's who of who's played in that rivalry. And yeah, he did. He threw hard, and he was playing baseball at Alabama. And I think you know, at the end of the day, that was the big deal that we were able to get him to Alabama because we said he could do both. Nick said he could do both. I think in the end, he knew his track was football. But yeah, he was a hell of a pitcher,
hell of an athlete. I asked him, is there anything you don't do well?
Greg, yeah, now he says, you know, I brought him in last week to debate this 400-yard drive that he has. I'm like,
405.
405. I mean,
there are witnesses, apparently.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I got witnesses, too. I mean, like.
I have a text evidence who played with him that day.
Okay, Meter. Come on, no. It's not,
I do. I swear to God.
John Daly.
Well, he claims that you had a little coming, you know,
yeah, well,
a little session with him.
I told him that him and my son, Michael.
Yes.
Need to go out and play and have a long drive contest. Because I will tell you right now, my son Michael hits the ball farther than anyone I've ever played with.
Wow.
Yeah.
This could be TV.
Okay.
Made for TV.
Lefty, and he smokes it.
No, I'm sure he does. Another
so
good
him
athlete.
And Dylan would be a good match.
That would be a good match.
Now, quarterbacking, Dylan's got my son.
But your son hasn't been pitching.
Yeah, really.
No, but the drive. No, Dylan's a great golfer. I know. I'm joking.
No, of course.
Way. He's played at Augusta. His dad's a great golfer. He is a great golfer. I know that for a fact. I know he's a single digit handicap.
Yeah. Well, how do you got to keep him off the course during the season?
But now he doesn't really. Yeah, I don't think he. That's what I was about to say. He's got Carroll School and he's got football. I don't think he's playing a lot. I don't think you'll see him at the country club.
No, Carroll School.
In a quick nine and at Woodland.
Yeah, you know, the Carroll School will keep you busy too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a little commitment there.
Let's go to running back and how those players are performing.
Look, I think these guys have done well. We got to stop turning the ball over. You know, Turbo knows that. That's a big deal. I think he's had some really, really good productive runs. He's caught the ball well out of the backfield, but we got to take care of the football. Jordan's done a good job. Bo McCormick's a young player who keeps getting better and better. That's helping us on special teams. Broom is a really good leader, helps us on special teams, and I'm happy with that position. We got to take care of the ball.
Now you've got – the running back, but the motto is find the hot hand, play the hot hand.
I think so. I mean, Turbo's the starter. You know, we have a lot of trust in him and faith in him. Again, you know, he's got to take care of the football, but he's done some good things. Jordan's a good number two right now who's done a great job. And then, you know, Bo, I would say Bo's the three, and Bo's a young player with a great future that's still learning. You know, Bo's, we have a lot of faith in Bo, trust in Bo. you know, but this is a big jump from high school to college, and so he's getting better and better as the weeks go on.
Wide receivers, productive?
Yeah, I mean, look, Lewis Bond, you know, he's right up there in the tops in the country. He's a very reliable player, great route runner. One of the, I'll say it again, one of the best players to ever play here at Boston College. He's a he's a great player. He's a great guy. He's a leader. He's a captain. Reed Harris played really well against Stanford. He's had a hell of a year. That needs to continue. You know, that needs to continue. Another guy that you're going to start seeing is Dawson Pugh. Dawson Pugh has really done a good job, I think, of coming into his own. And I think those guys, VJ Wilkins, I think had a good week of practice this week. So, you know, I think you'll see him in there, and I think we're on the right track there. So
Harris is, we saw it last week, looked like bad balls, high bad balls that are going to go to the next level and possibly get picked off. And he's, it looked like it was by design because Lonergan has confidence in his ability to get up.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's a big guy. He can run. He can jump. His hands have improved immensely. He's worked very hard to improve his hands. Give a lot of credit to him. He's an awesome guy. He's got an awesome mom, great family. So, yeah, he's a BC guy all the way, and he's done a really good job.
Jeremiah Franklin, tight end, leading that room. He's one of the best tight ends in the country. Right?
No doubt. No doubt. Jeremiah Franklin's such a solid player. I think he's done a really good job. I think that he's a good blocker. He's good in the passing game. He's a quiet guy, but he leads by example. Tough guy. You know, he's got really good you know, physical toughness, you know, but mentally he's tough too, and I think that helps our team too. And I like that position. You know, we got a lot of guys. You know, you've got Ty Lockwood, obviously. You've got Zeke Moore, who's a very, very tough, tough guy. His dad was a great player at Cornell. You've got Kalen Chudzinski, who's really had a good last couple of weeks, who I think is going to be a really good player, who's only a freshman. Right here at St. Sebastian's, you know, came to us from St. Sebastian's. I think he's going to be really good. Great route runner. He's a tough guy, good athlete. So I think Brady Clough. Then you got some young guys at that position that probably won't play as much this year, but I think are really good. Stevie Amar and DJ Johnson, they're on the scout team right now, but you'll see those guys, you know, eventually they'll be good, really good players at Boston College.
You know, I get the question a lot because that position looks so strong. Like, why isn't it a feature position?
I mean, like, Jeremiah Franklin, I think he's the leading tight end receiver in the country. So how much do you want to feature him? I mean, I don't know who you're talking to, but can they get – here's a quarter. Can they get a clue? I think he's the number one in the country for tight ends receptions.
So
I would say that position's being featured. I mean, God, here's a quarter to the guy you're talking to. Give him a clue. Let him go buy a clue. I mean, give me a break. That's crazy. Oh, we play 12 personnel, 13 personnel. That stuff drives me nuts because if you know my background with tight ends, I mean, 12 personnel, 13 personnel, 11 personnel, we flip it, we switch it, we feature the hell out of tight ends. So, I mean, there's no doubt about it.
More so than most.
I think Jeremiah Franklin, I think I might be wrong, Meter. You can quote me. You can check me on this. Excuse me. I think he's the number one leading receiver at tight end in the country. Am I right about that? Two.
Lucas Smith says
so, yeah. Whoever asked you about featuring the tight ends needs to go back to the bar.
Glad I brought it up.
Yeah. No, I'm saying I don't – when it comes to tight ends, I mean, I put us up against anybody, man. We know how to coach. I've coached some of the greatest tight ends to ever play the game, so I think we really we know what we're doing when it comes to tight ends.
No question about that. We're going to talk about one of those guys coming back because you were there this weekend in Foxborough. But this is the BC Football Show. Cronin O'Brien, Mita Parrell, back with more after this from the Stockyard.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Stockyard, you're listening to the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. Once again, here's John Meter Parrell.
Buddy, Good to have you with us with Bill O'Brien and Pete Cronin. I'm John Mita Perrell. Continue the BC football show. Stop the show last break about tight ends. I want a quick off the script here to what you saw this weekend or whatever it was days ago at Foxborough with the Bill Parcells and Julian Edelman ceremony. Gronk was there. What'd you make of that?
I mean, those days are awesome, you know, because it brings back a lot of great memories and you see a lot of great people, a lot of the guys you coached with, a lot of the guys you coached. And that was some, as you guys know, everybody here knows, those were some great years in Foxborough, you know. So to be able to reunite with those guys and then be involved with Julian's ceremony is a great honor for me to you know, I just was very humbled to be a part of that. And Julian was just an incredible guy, you know. You know, everybody knows the story. You know, he was drafted out of Kent State. We took a shot on him because we loved his competitiveness, his playing strength. We didn't really know totally what position he would play. We started him out at receiver and never looked back. He was injured my first – I was with him for 3 years, then I went to Penn State. So I coached him my first 3 years – or his first 3 years, excuse me. And he had a lot of injuries, but he kept fighting, and in the end, you know, when he cut back and he stayed healthy, the rest is history. But a great, great testament to his own competitiveness, the way he talked about his parents. You know, his dad raised a very tough, mentally tough, physically tough guy, no doubt about it.
And a lot, there's an intangible in there that's frequently overlooked by people who aren't close to the locker room, if you will. Yeah. He's a great locker room
player. Oh, no doubt. Had a great sense of humor. Had thick skin because you had to have whether you were an assistant coach or a player, you had to have thick skin there. No doubt about it. And he was very fun. Great energy. Him and Gronk. Now Gronk came in 2010. Jules came in 2009, but the energy, when they would walk in the building, they had an energy about them. You know, they would bust chops, but they had an ability to bring that juice to practice every single day, which I think is what you're saying, like, is part of what made them a good teammate. They were the same guy every day. You know, they were upbeat. They were ready to go. Julian, I told this story all the time. He would get very frustrated, but there's a difference between getting frustrated and getting down. Like, he was never hanging his head, and he was just looking up and, I can do it. I can do it better than those guys are doing it. And eventually he did. He did, and he's a great testament to sticking with it and resiliency and all that.
Pretty clear those two guys loved the game.
They loved the game that they did. I would say that was one of the things, and I talked to our guys in recruiting. It's hard to quantify that in recruiting. You know, it really is. But, you know, when we went back to the Tom Brady retirement deal and then this past deal, the Julian and Coach Parcells, that's what stands out to me. There's so many people, coaches, and mostly, obviously, the players that just absolutely love the game of football and have a passion for it. And, you know, that's really what it's all about. And I think that, you know, we have a lot of guys on this team that love football. We really do. They love football. They're there, ready to go every morning. And I think we need to continue to build that, you know, as we build the program.
I love the clip. You've seen it. You were there a million times. And Belichick goes up to Wes Welker in a preseason game.
Yeah.
Says, you ever heard of Wally Pipp?
Yeah.
When Edelman's returning punts, right?
Yeah.
And Wes is like, who?
The thing I'll say about that is, like, I love that clip, too. It's a funny clip. But I will say this. I'm very – I love Wes Welker. I coached him. He worked for me in Houston. He was incredible. I mean, in the 5 years that I was there in New England, I was the quality control. I was the wide – I coached Wes. I was the wide receiver coach, and I was the offensive coordinator. I think the guy had 600 catches.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Welker was an incredible football player. And, you know, the difference is, you know, we didn't get the championships that Julian got. And Julian was able to, you know, parlay his success into, you know, great championship football.
One of the greatest catches of all time.
No question.
Against the Falcons.
Julian did an awesome job in the most critical moments of the biggest.
That was Belichick being Belichick.
Well, it's okay. But what's the great story there is, the underlying story is, if you put in the computer, build me a wide receiver, none of them would fit the profile.
That's right. And Amendola was there too, who I didn't.
Another one.
He came in after I left, but he, you know, all those guys were just tough, resilient, you know, all those guys. Troy Brown, right? You know, over the years, they've had guys. Kevin Falk, who's a running back, I get it, but like the James White, right now they've got a guy. It seems like they have a young guy that I think you know, probably will end up playing more is Trevion Henderson. You know, these are these guys that might be, you know, they're fast, they're quick, they might be a little undersized, but they're great football players.
As we continue our non-Patriots segment, we continue with BC football and the defense. Oh, offensive line. We did go to the offensive line. Offensive line, what's your overall perspective?
Look, I think there's things that we can all do better. I think that the offensive line has pass protected, I think, very well. I think we need to block movement better in the run game. We need to block the run game a little bit better. We can help. We need to help them as coaches with what we're doing relative to the run game. I think we've worked very hard on that. Maybe there's some personnel things that we need to look at, which we've looked at. I'm not going to get into all that right now, but you know, I think that there's been times where they've played really good, but yeah, there's more out there for them, no doubt about it. I got a lot of faith in those guys. I think they're talented, they're tough, and I believe they'll play better.
There's a perfect example. You know, next man up. You've got guys who have been in the system for some time, and the opportunity may be presenting itself right now.
Yeah, that's right. Young doesn't matter. You know, if you're practicing the best and you know you've earned the spot, the right to go out there and play, then you're going to play. And that's the way it's always been since I've been here, and that's the way it's going to be while I'm here. Because I think how you play on the practice field, your consistent production in the practice field, whatever position you play, that's you should play in a game. I want to play as many guys as we can. I think you'll see guys on Saturday that, you know, you better go through the program and make sure you can announce their name, you know, pronounce their names.
Well, do we have any Samoans on the team? Those are the tough names.
Yes, they are. Uyunglele was a tough one for you, DJ.
Why do you keep saying it? Like, so you don't, doesn't that make your job a lot harder?
No, I have to work on it. It's my reps. Oh, it's my range. Right.
I'm stuck on Biak Patuka. So
Tamunga.
Turn the page. That was about 30 years ago.
Stuck on it. I can say it now.
Didn't he play against Vrabel when Vrabel was at Ohio State?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Great back.
Good
early.
Good
back. Thanks, Pete. Come on, man.
We were watching the D lineman today. Cronin gets jacked up when he watches D line play as an old D-lineman.
Oh, I know. He hangs down there by the D line.
He loves it. He loves it. So we're watching them, and they're
a glutton for punishment.
They were ferocious.
Car crashes.
He does. But those guys were laying it all out today.
Oh, yeah. Jordan Thomas does a great job. Our coaching staff's doing a good job. We work very hard. They work well together. You know, I don't think it's easy to be an assistant coach for me. I'll tell you that. I'm pretty demanding. But these guys work hard, and they're really trying to help these players get better. And we're all in it together. And, you know, I think we're working to get it better.
Well, offensively, it's just a matter of kind of avoiding that catastrophic mistake.
Yeah.
Because you've had some flashes, some brilliant moments. You've had some consistency.
Yeah.
Just that one – No, he comes down to like four or five plays.
Yeah, fumbles, pick six against Stanford, not good. You know, we've got to take care of the ball better. I think that's a big deal. I think our issues are not necessarily penalties. Like, I don't think we get penalized that much.
Yeah, you're the least penalized team in the ACC, right?
But you know, that's all well and good. But, you know, we have to take care of the ball, and we've got to run the ball more consistently.
Linebackers, watched them again today. McGowan looks like he's cranked it up.
Yeah.
Bryce Steele, you said, has had a great couple of weeks of practice.
Yeah, he has. I've been very impressed with Bryce Steele. I told him today I'm, you know, looking forward to watching him play. Jason Hewlett's done a good job. He's getting better. There's a young guy, Zachary Thomas. I think this guy's going to be a really good football player. He's young. You know, he's learning, but he's tough and he can run. And I'm looking forward to watching those guys.
Your guys recruit linebackers. What are you looking for?
You know, look, you're looking for guys that can run, you know, run and they enjoy hitting. They show up to the ball carrier in a bad mood. That's what you're looking for, you know, and guys that have a knack for the ball. The best guys that I've been around, I mean, I've been so fortunate over my career just as a head coach. Forget about as an assistant coach. You know, when I was at Penn State, we had Michael Mowdy. Michael Mowdy's a Penn State Hall of Famer, played in the NFL, he had a nose for the ball. Then I went to Houston, and we had Cushing, and we had Whitney Merciless, and we had Clowney. They had a nose for the football. They went to the ball. We've got guys like that here. You know, I think that's one of the keys. Like, you know, I think Owen's a good player, man. He tackles and he gets after it. And, you know, I think you saw that with Bryce Steele this week. And, you know, I think Jason Hewlett and Zachary Thomas have the same type of MO.
When you're putting in young guys who don't have a lot of playing experience and you're running a complex system, Do you have to water it down a little bit for them?
Yeah, I think with the young guys, Pete, I think you know, it is a pretty complex system. I mean, Tim does a lot. Tim Lewis, he's a great coach. players have a lot of confidence and trust in him. But I told him, and I said the same thing to Will Long, like, in the end, it doesn't matter what we know. It's what they know. And I think whenever I was a coordinator, I always thought about the play, especially as I got, you know, more and more experienced as a coordinator. I always said to the, you know, when I thought about putting a play in, I said, will the players be able to play fast? When I put this play in, they're going to know what to do. It's not hard to learn it, or they already know it, and they can just, when the ball's snapped, they know what to do, they know where to go, and they know how to do it. I think that's the key, and I think our coaches have done a good job of that this week.
Defensive backfield, what do you make of their play?
Yeah, look, we got some injuries back there. Again, no excuse. You know, we lost Sayre Torrence and Amari Jackson. That's tough, you know, right, when you lose your two starting corners. But, you know, we've got some young guys. We got our – obviously, Max Tucker is going to step up and play for us. And, you know, I think he really worked hard to get better this last couple weeks. I'm looking forward to seeing Max play. But then, you know, you've got Isaiah Ferris. You've got Ashton Cunningham. You've got Marcellus Townsend. Then you got at nickel, you've got Cam Martinez and another young guy, T.J. Green, that I think is going to be really good. But some of those guys are young, and they've never played before, so we're going to have to, you know, guide them through it. But they're very aggressive. They challenge people. They have a lot of confidence in their own ability. The safeties need to play really well. We're relying on the safeties. They're high-level safeties, K.P. Price, Carter Davis, Omar Thornton. Then we got young guys. We got Omarion Davis and Marcus Upton, Charlie Camella. You know, we got some young guys. We got a lot of good safeties, and they need to play well on defense and on special teams. We're really counting on those guys.
A special emphasis over the week off on tackling. Did you do a lot of different things?
Different drills. You know, you got to be careful going live, because you start going live every single play. Yeah. You start losing guys to injury. But we tackled. I mean, we got after it, especially last week during the bye week. We had scrimmages, and they were very physical practices. We had physical practices this week on Tuesday and Wednesday. More thud. We did different types of tackling drills. Our defensive coaches, they did a great job with some tackling drills at every position. So hopefully that pays off. Again, tackling is about, as you know, like I'm preaching to the choir, it's about being a willing tackler. You know, having the will to go make that play, and I think that's key. And I think we have a lot of guys that are willing tacklers, and I think they'll tackle better.
Well, we noticed that there's collectively watching football, there's this propensity for defensive players to want to go, you know, when hit a guy and make his IQ drop by 10.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I said, that's funny you say that, because after the Stanford game, when we got back and we met a couple of days later, I gave him Sunday and Monday off. We got back together on Tuesday. I told them, as far as tackling goes, it's important to get the guy on the ground and wrap up. It's not about the knockout shot.
That's right.
It really isn't. It's about, and we don't want to block tackle. There's too much block tackling going on where you don't wrap up. And so we worked very hard on wrapping up and, you know, not teaching them. They know how to wrap up, but we worked hard on, hey, man, you didn't wrap up. Do it again, you know, and so hopefully we see better tackling.
Well, very, very good, because that was kind of my conclusion, is that you don't have to make the big hit. You got to make the tackle.
Yeah, get him on the ground, especially in today's day and age of college football. There's a lot of space plays. And so, look, the guy gained 6 yards. No problem. Get him on the ground. It's second and four. We'll play the next play.
I thought he was going to tackle me in the booth.
Defense, I will say this, guys, again, and I've heard this from the best of the best, you know, Coach Saban and, you know, those guys like Pete Golding, you know, these guys were great defensive coaches at Alabama when I was there. And the defense in today's college football is very, very difficult. You know, it's about scoring, and, you know, there's a lot of space plays, and the athleticism on offense is really, really top notch. So, again, it's about, hey, being in good position. Even the vice tackle, when two guys are coming, know where your help is and keeping the ball on your inside shoulder and, you know, knowing that you got a buddy over here that you can vice this guy with and get the guy on the ground. Those are big things that we've worked hard on.
We're going to take our final timeout. We'll talk about the keys to the game and more with Bill O'Brien coming up after this from the Stockyard on the BC Football Show. And welcome back. Great to have you with us, as always, from the Stockyard. I got to tell you, we got some great food in front of us.
We do. It
takes some willpower here from all of us at this table to hold off a little bit.
Awaken 180.
It's been, I guess, Pete and I and Bill, you're on it too. It's been, would you call it a cakewalk? Well,
no.
I eat throughout the day. I'm not hungry, and the weight just falls off.
Oh, come on, Peter.
Simple. My next weigh-in next week, and I can't wait to see the results on the scale. I'm definitely feeling the benefits everywhere else. find your results, awaken180weightloss.com.
The results are there if you stick to it.
They are. It's amazing how
you're going to have to buy a new wardrobe.
I mean, look at Pete.
I think so. I think we're going to have to talk to Nick, the equipment manager, get some new medium shirts for you, Pete.
Easy, guys.
I'm not sure we're going to medium.
They say 5 to 6 pounds per week if you stick to it.
I saw it. Saw it today on the scale. You look good.
You do. You're
yeah, appreciate it. Thank
you're
you.
Svelting. Might be the sweatshirt.
Did you say
svelted? Yes, you're svelting.
You're svelting or you're
I got my New Balance. You know, we're New Balance.
I'm New Balance. We're New Balanced out. We love it.
No question.
So we appreciate their support. Awaken180weightloss.com.
No doubt.
Bill, as we go towards the Cal game at 3:30, what are you thinking of for your keys to the game?
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be key to get off to a good start, you know, come out ready to go. I think that's a huge key. I think we've got to take care of the ball on offense. We've got to control their really good players on offense, meaning that inside linebacker that they have is very good. We need to make sure that we know where he is on every play. We got to, you know, adhere to our rules. You know, play good, fundamental, sound football. I think defensively, we've got to get communicated. We have to have great eye discipline, got to get lined up, and we got to play each play like a story unto itself, you know, and we got to tackle well. And then on special teams, you know, look, it's going to be important for us to – our specialists, it's a big game for, you know, Seamus, Andy Quinn, Ben Mann, Luca Lombardo. We need to kick well. We need to snap well. Cooper Crook on the short snaps. You know, we got to do a good job there. And then we got to cover these kicks. Covering kicks is going to be big in the game. And it's going to be an exciting game. They got a good football team. I feel good about our football team. And, you know, we're ready to go.
Now, listening to some of the player comments, there seems to be a subtle, almost an angry tone to talking about this next opponent and where they are in the season. Certainly not satisfied by any stretch, but I get the sense they think they can really start to turn things on here.
Yeah, I think they are frustrated. You know, they know that you know, the Michigan State game, the Stanford game. Look, give credit to Michigan State and Stanford, but there were things that we did in the game that, you know, we need to do better and perform better in the most critical moments. And, you know, I think our guys understand that. They're frustrated. But they need to go out there, like I said earlier in the show, and they got to go play free. Go play with reckless abandon. Have fun. Play for each other. Line up and play the next play. Have amnesia if something goes bad. Man, just line up and play that next play. I think if we do that, we'll be in good shape.
It's going to be a fun day, no doubt about that. Family weekend. You got Pops on Friday night. Big weekend at Boston College. You got the lovely Colleen O'Brien here with you tonight. I want to know, after this, are you going to go celebrate the inevitable Boston Red Sox clinch a playoff berth tonight?
Absolutely. We how about Crochet last night?
Outstanding.
Wasn't that awesome? Beating Max Scherzer like that? That was fantastic.
That's why you make that trade.
No question. Crochet, 18-5, Cy Young all the way.
250 strikeouts.
One and we're in. Are we going back up to Toronto, or what do you think?
I think Toronto would be a good opponent. I'm guessing Toronto, yes.
Yeah.
Houston's winning today, so the Red Sox, if they win tonight,
you're in.
Clinch.
There's very few things in life better than October baseball.
I agree.
Am I right about that?
It's the best.
October
baseball.
Talked
about that.
Only October football. October football is better. But October baseball is a close second.
I would say I knew what you were saying when you said it.
No question.
Every pitch counts. All right, let's do a little grab bag here in the last 2 minutes.
Uh-oh.
This is our old segment.
I get worried about the grab bag. But
you like the grab bag. Cal Raleigh, Aaron Judge, AL MVP.
I mean, I'm never going to go with a Yankee, so I'm going with Cal Raleigh.
60 home runs.
60 bombs.
60. You know what they call him?
All natural, too. All natural.
I hope so.
Bye-bye, Cal.
What they call him? The big dumper.
See him pour the beer over his head in the locker room last night? That was cool.
That was great.
He loved it.
You'd appreciate this guy.
Yeah.
He would have fit right into your old locker room.
Yeah, one of my guys. Yeah, absolutely. Could have hung with him.
Did you play baseball?
I did. I was a catcher in grammar school and Little League and then a little bit in Catholic League. But I had a really good arm to second base. I had the same arm to third. So once they figured out the ball was going to be 10 feet over the third baseman's head, I couldn't hold anybody.
He's still third. Yeah.
Were you a catcher?
I was a catcher. Yep.
It's a football thing. All these guys are catchers.
I was a catcher. Like I loved baseball.
Yeah, well, we know that. All right, Ryder Cup. Are you going to be watching on Sunday night?
I mean, I don't know if I'll have time. I was watching before we drove over here. We had it on the golf channel, and isn't that that's an amazing event, you know? Yes. And to have it at Bethpage, and I don't know if you guys saw the speech of the fireman, the New York City fireman, whose dad died in 9/11, and with his little son there, and he gave that speech to the American team. Man, that's if you haven't seen that, everybody needs to watch that. That was incredible, and that'll be Bethpage will be electric.
Oh. They're calling for chaos.
Chaos.
That's some of the players are hoping that there is chaos.
No doubt.
It helps their cause. But you're right about that speech. I see a guy in the corner. They're Jerry York, everybody. Hall of Famers.
The legend.
Good to see you, Jerry. There's a guy that I'm sure gave a few good speeches. But
I would say he gave a few good speeches for the
no question.
All the
you're not a big speech guy, right?
I mean, no, I'm not I'm not giving the, you know, a War and Peace speech every
right.
day. No, I'm certainly not that. No. Well, I'll get him ready to go, though, Meter.
I know you will. No question about that. And you got us ready to go tonight. Bill, go get him on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
it. Look forward to it.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. We appreciate the Stockyard as well. We'll catch you on Saturday at 3 on the BC Sports Network from Van Wagner. For Pete Cronin and Bill O'Brien, I'm John Meter Perel. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. Join us on Thursday nights throughout the season from the Stockyard in Brighton. The Boston College Football Show has been sponsored by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. Empower. Invest well and live a little at empower.com. Mass General Brigham, the official medical provider of Boston College Athletics. McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. And WN, the official technology infrastructure partner of Boston College Athletics. Rodenheiser, trusted plumbing, heating, AC, and electrical experts for over 90 years. And the Stockyard, Boston's best steakhouse. The proceeding has been a Van Wagner presentation of the Boston College Eagles Radio Network.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.